Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Matawan, New Jersey. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ behind the glass. We hope you guys are having a great morning so far. I am not at all. There's got to be some kind of rules and regulations to what you can carry on your truck, as far as like your pickup trucks and your dump trucks and all. A boulder about the size of this decided to jump off a truck and land on my windshield, and I went flying into the divider. So that is how my morning starts. My body hurts. I think I'm in shock. May or may not have had a mini stroke, but here I am, and here we are as a podcast. I kind of like, I'm not going to get morbid, but
I have a morbid joke.
I mean, go for it. Just nail me with it.
It would have been the second time since dying as a member of the 1960 Dallas Cowboys that you would have had the chance to come back as somebody new.
If I can get a restart, that'd be great.
Mike Faraca, is that who we're talking about? Right? He did a little research.
I did see that. That was pretty funny.
Dave, I think we found the guy. I gotta go into.
You
the
found
post.
Me.
That's him.
That's me.
That's you.
That might be me.
How do you not know this, by the way?
I told you. Felt it. I didn't know it, but I felt it. Could have been a past time.
I gotta find this, and hopefully AJ in real time can get a graphic made so the public could see Dave.
What's the guy's name?
Prior life. I'm gonna find the graphic.
Well, right he now. Yeah, it was posted in Chop Sports this morning, and I appreciate those who listened to that rant yesterday because that was actually really funny. It was a good time. You know, off the cuff, that's for sure. I have a problem with you not believing in karma, but you believing in manifestation. We went over this. I'm not going to do it again.
I got the graphic.
And you got the graphic. Send it on over to AJ because apparently George Andre could have been past me from back in the day. So George Andre, star of the Dallas Cowboys 1961 team or 66, whatever the hell he found. I don't know. But in any event, that's my morning in a nutshell. I had a great workout too. So it was like totally like I was like feeling good finally about this week, and this week has been a mess. But here we are, and here we go. But last night, first and foremost, boy, oh boy, was this game exciting. I know there's 81 more of these, and I think that if the Knicks played every game at home, they'd be a far better team than anybody else in the league. The Garden for game one of the NBA season was rocking like it was game one of some kind of playoff series or something like that. That place was out of control, and I'm so happy that they pulled it out, because if they didn't, all of this hype and this luster would be kind of taken away. Shout out to our newest Nick, the former Celtic. You know what I mean? Dropping 32. And of course, Julius Randle playing out of his mind good. The place was just jumping, man. And it was a good, good feeling to see. And the Knicks have themselves a nice little witty, gritty team. And and I think it was Jay Devlin who posted about the Knicks, about their starting lineup, saying that if you have this long depth, and I don't agree with him at all. If you have long depth, that means you don't have role players on your team, and I couldn't disagree more. I think that this team has guys on the bench like a Rose, like a Quickley, like, you know, all these guys that can come off the bench and score points. The Knicks might be something to be excited about this year.
I think
year.
That comes down to when you have a deep bench, it's up to the coaching, and it's up to the players to buy into what the coaching is all about, and then you develop your role and you accept your role. I mean, role player is one of those things that's subjective anyway. You know, everybody is essentially a role player to some degree.
In their own right, yeah.
But my takeaway from the game is there's a little bit of apprehension from my part on the Knicks, because they're supposed to be a defensive team, but they really couldn't stop anybody yesterday.
Yeah, but some of those shots were a little ridiculous.
Fair point. Now, on the flip side, you know, you expect the Knicks to not be able to keep up with a team that's going to score 130 points in a game, and their offense was there. They were able to keep up with the Celtics. So it's like I'm a little – I think this isn't the Knicks team you're going to see going forward. I think that they will win most of their games playing good defense. But it's good to see, as a non-Knicks fan, but for my Knicks fans' friends, that they are able to kind of keep up. We'll see how they fare against a team that runs the way some of these teams in the league.
AJ, your thoughts, man. You're a Knicks guy.
Yeah, I was watching the game yesterday, and the one kind of only criticism I really have for the Knicks, aside from the dreadful defense that was being played, was I felt like we were forcing the three too much. Last year as a team, I believe we attempted the fewest threes or had the fewest made threes in the NBA. Now it seems like we get Fournier, we get some guys who can shoot the three, and it's like, that's all we can do. Shoot, 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 shoot.
Yeah, I think you live and die by it. Like, if you decide that's the game plan you want to roll with and you want to start chucking up for joy, that's not always a good recipe. It's usually a recipe for disaster. But I will say, and it's in the comments right now, it's great to have Robinson back. I think that he, right, if he stays healthy, man, that's the piece that you need that you were missing last year, you know, in down the stretch and in the long run and in the playoff run. Those are the guys that really do make an impact for this team. And if he could stay healthy, watch out.
He's such a beast on the board. It's fun to watch him get rebounds.
I think Gary Vaynerchuk, of all people, you know, one of my biggest, not heroes, but like, you know, just I inspire to be. He tweeted out one simple thing. He goes, "It's fun to watch Robinson rebound." You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought that rebounding would be a fun thing to do? But watching him go up like that. And bring down the boards and just play an overall good game. And, you know, I was talking to a couple people during the game. I was talking to Scoop. I was talking to, obviously, Jimmy hit me up saying, "Knicks stink." And I'm like, yeah, I know. I just sat down. I was doing a lot of work from my dining room. So I really was just, like, listening to the game from the distance. And I finally got to sit down and watch it. And I was like, well, this team, you know, the Garden in itself was electric. And it was a lot of fun. I know it's one. You know, 1-0 is fun. You know, but, like, there's 81 more of these freaking things. And I know it's going to be a long season, but
that game looked exciting. Like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. That the opening day, that crowd, it was fucking roaring.
I mean, the celebrities were out big. You know, yeah. Tracy Morgan, fucking Spike Lee was there. And it's funny. Like, these guys are such big fans and big, like, advocates for the team that, like, when the team goes down or the team goes up, it's almost as if the camera focuses on them first just to see what their reaction is, because they're such deep-hearted line, like, just in their souls, Knicks fans. But, and Obi-Wan as well, you know.
Ain't no stopping Obi-Toppin.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool things to get excited about for this New York Knicks team, and I think the win helps them tremendously going forward. I know, again, a million games left, but it's fun. So. A game that, you know, it's so funny. The other day, we're talking about the Red Sox and how gritty and how witty and how, you know,
The momentum
and Cora and getting these guys playing and blah, blah, blah. This is back-to-back games where they get shellacked. Like, you know, and I know it came in the later rounds of the night before, but yesterday was an all-out just blitz. You know what I mean? And the Red Sox are now one game away from their season being over.
Let's see how gritty the Red Sox actually are, because they're going to need to gut this one out. Now we're talking about momentum. The Astros have all the momentum. And I think, who do they got pitching next?
In Friday's game, they have on the mound.
Either way, no matter who it is, it's going to be a better, they're going to have the advantage because the Red Sox pitching is depleted bad right now.
What do we got?
Not true. Yimi Garcia, the guy's 1-for-1, has a 12.6 ERA, two whip.
So he's just His leash is short.
He's basically going in for the first inning.
He's an opener. Probably. This is an opener type thing where they're going to just unload the clip. By the way, shout out to Dak Prescott with that quote. I almost feel like nobody else is talking about it, but like in his pregame speech, he goes, "Unload the whole effing clip." And I'm just like, ooh. You know, like, and then nobody's going to frown at that. That's fine. Okay, fine. So it's
I love that.
It sounds like
he stole that from a Jadakiss verse. But
it's a great line. I just know that there's soft ass people out there that are just going to be like, well, now that's a gun reference, at ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about shooting people.
How many bullets are in a clip?
Six. Seven. Seven? Eight. Tell me.
I mean, I think it's 16.
Oh, no. No way.
In like which
clip? In like a 9 milli?
Yeah, 16.
Like, you know?
9 millimeters? Like a handgun?
Well, 16 with one in the head, that's Jada. He's talking about 16 in the clip, but there's one in the chamber already, so there's 17.
I didn't think they held all that. Man, they should ban guns everywhere. That's just too many bullets. But anyway, it is what it is. But anyway, so another series that could be separating itself from almost being over. Now another team faces elimination. My Dodgers, who I picked to get to the World Series just to end whatever team, you know, whether it be the Astros or the Red Sox, that the Dodgers had the upper hand, and the Dodgers would be the team to beat. And it seems like they can't get out of their own way in this series. And now the A is one game away from Championship Day. How do you like that? Why don't we go?
Christ.
Why don't we go eat some hay? You know, but Atlanta's looking good, man. I mean, it's something to be said about it.
I got nothing here.
Oh, okay, like cool.
The Dodgers aren't going to win this series because the Braves are just that team right now. They're playing too hot. We're talking about the momentum. If you look at the Braves over the last month and a half, they've just been rolling. Outside of the Cardinals in the NL, who got kind of dicked on that one game thing that we were talking about 2 weeks ago, the Braves have been rolling. It's going to be tough to take them out. Let's go Bravos, baby. Keep chopping.
I might as well just throw that in there. But yeah, the Braves are one game away from taking this thing. So one more thing. We'll talk about some news before we get into all the stuff about tonight's game. We'll talk about that after the break. But there was a signing in the NFL, relatively big. And we're not just doing this because it's the Packers. Whitney Mercilus is that guy, man. I'm telling you right now, he's a stud defensive lineman. I believe he's got like 3 sacks in 6 games, so he's definitely doing work. But it looks like the Texans are in complete fire sale mode again. I mean, they were there last year. That's what I'm saying. I feel like this is 2 years carried over now.
I mean, I'm surprised we actually didn't touch on this in the pre. Well, there's a lot to talk about with the Texans now with the Deshaun Watson thing. So we could actually just piggyback off of this and talk about that in a moment. But as far as the Whitney Mercilus signing, obviously I'm excited about it for one reason, is that we're out there doing the things that we need to do. There's a major deficiency on getting to the quarterback in Green Bay right now. And I shouldn't say that we're middle of the pack, but the fact that we haven't had Za'Darius Smith yet, and if anything, this is also alarming in the sense that, do they know something about that injury where he might not be coming back at all this season? I know that there's a potential for it, but,
well, you know. The Dallas Cowboys are their quote, right, that they beat over the head of you know, every Dallas Cowboy fan, is that player acquisition is a 365, 24/7 thing. So the Packers right now, you should be, I'm very happy about this,
and so is Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there's a little come to Jesus moment on the front office where they're like, you know what, we do have a window right here, and there is something to be said for planning for the future, but you got to strike when the iron is hot. The Packers are rolling right now. They have a little bit of holes on their defense, like I said, about getting to the quarterback. Rodgers came out and said, you know, this season's starting to feel a little bit like that season a little over a decade ago, and you all know what happened that season.
So, guys, just so you know, and that's on the record. Quote,
that's not me misquoting him at all. So Aaron Rodgers is calling his shot, basically.
Okay, so basically what Gooch is saying is that the Packers are, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Going to be tough to beat. And if we do get Big Z back, that's going to be even better. I know Jair is coming back in a couple weeks. So
just wait until Jalen Smith gets more snaps and starts missing tackles. You'll be real, real nice and happy.
Well, this is good because this will kind of take away from him getting more snaps, because that's where they've been depleted, is at the linebacker position. Mercilus is going to play outside linebacker. You run a 3-4.
I was going to say, you run a 3-4. So, I mean, I think he's coming from the same. I think the Texans ran a 3-4 as well. So, no big transition there. You don't have to put your hand in the dirt as much as any, like, a 4-3 defense would. But, yeah, big signing. Packers making moves. And that wasn't the only thing. And we don't have a graphic for it, which is fine. But, you know, they also got rid of their returner.
They just cut him out, right?
And the Chargers scooped him up, said, you know what? You want to return kicks? Come do it for us.
Just a little bit more dangerous than they already are. So
shout out to the Washington football team cutting their kicker. What was that all about? Dustin Hopkins.
Dustin Hopkins is good.
He had an 86% field goal percentage career. 86. That's not bad.
How about Josh Lambeau?
Lamborghini Mercy?
Yeah, he got cut. Chase McLaughlin, the guy that just took his job on those 3 field goals that he made last week. And he also got PED tested, the little skinny kicker, because he had a game winner. They fucking tested him.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. You know who else got PED tested again? 2-for-2. Miles Garrett went sleeveless 2 times this season. He got tested after both games.
Because he has boulders for shoulders, right? And Miles Garrett's shoulder went through my windshield this morning, by the way.
Sleeveless Miles is retired. So he's no longer, he's like, I'm afraid of the blood test, so it ain't going down like that. No more sleep.
You know what's
Miles.
Funny? There was something to that the first time. He actually said, the first time he wore sleeveless, and he's like, oh, now they tested me, blah, blah, blah. Like, he said something, but then somebody's first comment was like, oh, but at least they're not trying to smash you over the head with a helmet or something like that. Just well, like, it was witty, and I'm misquoting it, and I'm sucking at it right now because my mind's in 15 different places.
So I got one more on the Texans. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit ago. Deshaun Watson,
yeah.
Miami Dolphins.
That's
there's a lot of rumors swirling around that situation. One of them being Tua Tagovailoa going to Washington in a three-way deal.
I'll smoke somebody. Are you kidding me? That's a thing?
I'm not. That is definitely a thing that I read. I think it's all bullshit.
God forbid the Cowboys.
I think it's completely trash. I don't see any NFL team right now giving up any legitimate asset to acquire Deshaun Watson. The only way that this trade goes down, and the one and only way, is if the Texans are just completely willing to take next to nothing to dump off that money because they either A, know something that we don't, or they're just completely all in on trashing this thing and there's no reason to keep spending the $40 million when you could get a team to take that contract.
My question is this, and I raise it again, and this is something we've talked about. Why isn't he suspended yet? What the hell is the holdup? That's why there's trade rumors. That's why there's people saying, like, you know what? We'll buy in if it's only costing us a third or whatever.
We talked about this, too.
I know, but it's...
thing where there has to be either, A, something that they know where it's keeping the suspension from happening. Because
if they know, then that means the Dolphins are doing their due diligence, too.
Maybe it's not as bad as everybody's saying. And, like, let's not forget the other issues that were present before this whole thing started with Deshaun Watson. So they were already at odds with the organization, and there was chances that he was going to not show up to camp regardless. Obviously, we all know that's bullshit when there's that kind of money on the line. But there's other things besides the case that's frayed the relationship with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. I don't think he's going to get moved because, like I said, I don't see another team investing anything on top of the $40 million.
I think... my bold prediction is that he will become a member of a different team this year. Because if he hasn't been suspended yet and has not, you know, sat in the principal's office, have you? And by principal, I mean Goodell. And there hasn't been any punishment and there hasn't been anything. Then he's going to get moved because somebody is going to need his services. When push comes to shove, Deshaun Watson on the field is Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that damn good at quarterback. So... if a team is sitting there, like the Miami Dolphins, who have gotten off to a very bad start, right? And I think they're kind of coming to terms that Tua is not the guy. Maybe. It's hard to say. Very, very young career. But maybe they just know, and maybe a guy like Flores is saying, look, we are one good quarterback away.
Well, that's
from making
true.
The run.
That's not even true.
That's not true.
Well, maybe
that's why I don't think that
we
trade
say
is
it's
a possibility.
Not true.
They're 1-5.
We say it's not true, right? But it might be in the minds and the eyes of Brian
Deshaun
Flores.
Deshaun Watson, let's be real about it. Deshaun Watson is arguably a top five quarterback when healthy and when rolling. Like he's a good player.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily put him in the top five. That might be a reach. But Deshaun Watson's a legitimate, bona fide NFL quarterback for sure. So
yeah.
I understand why a team would be interested, but just because of the money, it's a crazy contract. And giving up assets that the Texans were originally seeking, it's just not feasible because you're setting yourself back. The Dolphins did a good job rebuilding and getting a lot of picks. Well, it would be counterproductive to everything that they've done over the last 2 years to just trash all that work and take on the worst contract in football, or one of.
Well, that and the Texans might be just coming to terms with the fact they're like, all right, listen, guys, we're not getting a one because of the situation. We might not even getting a two.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I say, for a third rounder or something, like you're going to see like the Sam Darnold situation.
Right.
But a far better player. Much controversy surrounding him, so we just don't know. Also, speaking of controversy, I don't want to keep on going off things have on the docket. But did you see the Dan Snyder new report released by Sports Illustrated?
No.
That...
they're Wait, Sports now Illustrated announced
very,
this?
Very, very smart people, Peter King. So very smart. All right, but either way, when there's smoke,
he's
there's
lost
fire.
It too, a little bit,
as far as the Dan Snyder, the John Gruden, the Bruce Allen situation that's going on, I don't think that there's much misreporting being done when it comes to that in this particular case. They're saying that people in the NFL, executives, smart people, are convinced that it was Dan Snyder that leaked the email to deflect everything that's going on. So it was his people leaking the own emails because he has such, like, I think they called it a jihad. He declared a jihad against Bruce Allen, the former GM.
Okay. See, here's why I think this is definitely possible, right? Snyder's a douche, right? We all know this. He's literally one of the worst owners in sports. We knew this already. B, it's what we talked about earlier on Monday when we brought up the Sean Taylor thing. You scheduled a Sean Taylor day Yeah, in 3 days to deflect.
They're talking about
they are fake trade running.
Rumors. They're talking about fake trade rumors with Deshaun Watson.
They are running Tua. For anything the hills. Anything they can
do. That's what I'm saying. To touch on the Deshaun Watson thing, I think it's the same thing. I think the Texans are desperate, and they're releasing this information out there. So maybe a team that also is interested, not just the Dolphins, might come in and be like, oh, whoa, whoa, if you're actually going to move them, we'll get involved too.
Yeah.
But I don't buy it.
I do buy into the Dan Snyder thing. I think that dude is got to be one of the worst people in sports. You know, I know everybody gives flack to Jerry Jones and, you know, and people like, you know, the Steinbrenners of the world for being like either aggressive or wanted to go against the grain and change things up and blah, blah, blah. Dan Snyder has not done anything for that city. You know, it's bad enough Washington, D.C. is in total disarray in the world. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things, D.C. is a shithole, right? And, like, in the government and all that shit. Like, it's all bad right now. And then you add the football team, literally and figuratively, the football team to that bad mess. I mean, that's just it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, that situation couldn't get any worse. No, and they got to really play couldn't. Green Bay this weekend on the road, so they're really in
about to stream the shit out of the Green Bay defense this weekend, by the way. But yeah, so let's take a break. Let's towel off. Let's get our facilities back. I don't even know if that's a real thing. But let's take a break. When we come back, obviously we have some fantasy stuff to talk about. It is week 7 in the NFL. We have a football game to talk about where Baker Mayfield is no good. And I have a quote from Bart Scott because – again, he's just another just verbal diarrhea at this point that will shock you. But let's take a break first. We'll get that at when we come back. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the 4 happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in a giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information. All right, welcome back to the show here, the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy Studios. Of course, Sturch and Gooch are with you today. And, of course, AJ Bascom back in business, making the graphics, making things rain over here, making things function. So where do we start? So we're going to have – there's a graphic I can't really make out, but that one. Oh, so the streamers. Okay, we got something new here. We did go over your waiver stuff the other day, but now these are the 4 guys that Gooch and I guess collectively AJ might agree to the guys to get into your lineups right now. I'm not in favor of the third one, but let's go over this. Gooch, you have, and for people that are listening to the podcast, you have Matt Ryan, Tua, Taylor Heineke, and Carson Wentz. All right, so explain yourself.
I'm just going to go a little bit into the first two, and then I'll let AJ handle the second two. If AJ's okay with that.
Sure.
All right, there we go. Because I didn't do much research on Heineke and Wentz, to be fair. But I talked about this a little bit when I did the free agent waiver wire acquisitions on Tuesday. And I just think that in the matchup with the Falcons and the Dolphins, there's some really bad secondary play going on, and both defenses are shit. You could take your pick. I think if you're looking for a quarterback to stream this week, Matt Ryan is the guy. I have him in 2 leagues where I just added him because I have Dak and Herbert pretty much across the board in a lot of my leagues. They're both on a bye. So if you're in a similar situation, typically Matt Ryan or Tua is going to be available in your league. I will go with one of those two guys.
I raised a question once again, and this is a personal question. I'm giving you my lineup here. Would you take any of these 4 guys over Ryan Tannehill playing the Kansas City Chiefs?
I would not, no. Ryan Tannehill, Chiefs defense is the worst. Secondary specifically is the worst in the NFL right now.
So I'm sticking
and
with you.
And they score a lot of points, so the only way to keep up with them is to score points also. And Tennessee's more proven.
Yeah. Okay. And the next two NFC East foes is one being Taylor Heineke against the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, Carson Wentz, which they haven't updated anything yet. I guess you could just, you know, he's still in an Eagles jersey on this graphic, but that's fine.
He gets no love from anybody.
He gets no love from anybody. But my brother, I know for a fact, streamed Carson Wentz this week. So, AJ, give him some confidence behind the pick.
Okay, I don't have that much confidence to deliver. I was just making a list of the four most streamable quarterbacks here. Okay. Heinicke and Wentz, I both think, are not the best starting options, but let's say you're in a 16-man league like we are, or you just have some...
My starting running backs this week?
No.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's say you
just... Good job, Liz. You're about to get a friggin' win over me. The Saxon the City is about to steamroll Chop Sports.
If you're struggling at QB, Taylor Heinicke and Wentz are fine. Like, Heinicke's going against Green Bay Packers defense. I think both the Washington football team defense and their Packers defense have their own respective flaws. I think the game's actually a bit more high-scoring than people think, too. Carson Wentz, he's shown that he could pass the ball over the past few weeks, but he's not really getting the touchdown totals that I would like out of him. They always run the ball in the end zone, and San Fran is actually, despite their injuries, surprisingly pretty good against the pass this year.
So, in other words, don't stream Carson Wentz.
Yeah, don't stream Carson Wentz.
All right, Danny, make a move, bro. You've been following everything else. I saw you sign Rock Stevenson yesterday, or Ram Stevenson, whatever the hell his name is, from New England. So, I'm assuming you're just riding the Gooch coattails here. But, all right, so what else we got? So, these are the this or that, right? It's the starters, who you're going to start in your lineup this week. This is a great one to start because I know there's a lot of Miles Carroll Gaskin people that are out there ready to write this guy off completely because of his up and down Jekyll and Hyde ways, or Devonta Booker. So right now the ranking, there's a 5-spot difference between the two.
If I could drop Miles Gaskin, I would.
I feel like, yeah, really I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way.
I'm all out on Gaskin, even though I do own him.
So are you all for Booker today?
This is not even a debate, just on the usage alone. You know Devonta Booker is going to get the ball. You don't know if Miles Gaskin is. It's that simple. He hasn't gotten more than 5 carries in a game.
Who's the guy
yet
in Miami?
Besides week one.
Ahmed?
Salvin Ahmed, and then they also have Malcolm Brown. That they're just it's pretty much an even timeshare with rushing totals for the two of them, and Gaskin only comes in on third downs at this point. And if he gets the ball, it's a fucking shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to sit Gaskin this week because I do own him in two leagues.
Oh, that means he's scoring twice, by the way.
Being that I'm going to sit him, he is going to explode. So you might want to start him, but I'm not going to.
All right.
You get what I'm going with that.
Yeah, of course. All right, so AJ, Booker or Gaskin?
Okay, so we all saw that the Panthers got lit up on the ground last week against the Vikings. But if you look past that game against the Cowboys,
they're still first in the league against the rush.
They're still number one in the league against the rush. And let me tell you something, Devontae Booker ain't no rusher. I just don't think he's going to put up any numbers against this defense. I think the Giants are going to get fucking smoked. Panthers in that game all day. But that's not what we're asking here. It's either Booker or Gaskin. Gaskin's not getting the touches, but let me tell you, I have a weird feeling this is a Gaskin game. It is against the Atlanta Falcons. It is going to be high scoring. The Dolphins defense has not shown up this year, and if they're down in the game, maybe Miles Carroll Baskin Gaskin gets a little bit of action in this one.
So AJ, I'm just going to go to my situation right now.
We're getting personal,
right?
Here.
So I just got a notification from ESPN saying you have someone in your active lineup projected to score less than someone on your bench. That someone on my bench is Miles Gaskin. That someone in my lineup is either Javonte Williams or Darnell Mooney. Do you start a Gaskin over either one of those two guys?
I think I started Gaskin over Williams, honestly, because that Browns rush defense is tough.
I know, that's where I'm at potentially, but Gaskin has...
I love how ESPN is just like, hey, you're making a bad decision. Time to change it.
ESPN is fucking great. So they put Chris Broussard on Football Analysis, so how great is ESPN? Let's think about that.
Oh, man. That was so much fun. I've watched that clip over a million times, and I think that it's revolutionary. All right, what else we got here?
Okay, we got...
recently released on my team, Tim Patrick, with Hunter Renfro. Patrick ranked number 29th. He is not facing the Broncos. He's on the Broncos. He's going to be playing the Browns. No big deal. Hunter Renfro obviously playing the Philadelphia Eagles this week. In a PPR field, which is basically 99.9% of leagues nowadays.
Such thing as a non-PPR.
Actually, there is. I'm in two of them. I will have to lean towards the Raiders still playing inspired football. I don't know. I just, that's where I'm leaning. But this is your segment. You guys choose. Tim Patrick seems to be always on the field and always coming down with some good balls. You know, Cortland Sutton, just a side note, he hasn't dropped the ball yet.
Like, no, he's a fucking stud.
That's great.
Love Courtland.
Unbelievable.
And he also looks so much bigger this year after last year's injury. He put on like
15 of course.
Pounds,
a monster. Hit the gym ski.
I'm really high on all the Denver Broncos receivers. Obviously, everybody has heard me talk lovingly about Tim Patrick time and time again. And I think there's some rumors swirling right now that Jerry Jeudy may actually suit up tonight. They haven't activated him. He hasn't practiced. But I've been reading that. I don't think he's going to.
If he hasn't practiced, then he's not
Jerry
playing.
If Jerry Jeudy does play, but who the fuck knows? You know,
I'm just saying. Like, if you don't activate somebody until before the game.
He's been practicing, but he hasn't actually been activated off the IR. So I should say that.
Okay.
All right. So Jerry Jeudy, there's talks that he might play. I don't think he's going to play. I'm sure AJ's checking it for us now.
He's not playing.
He's not playing. Okay. So that changes things. Honestly, I had to drop Tim Patrick in two
so
weeks.
So did I.
As crazy as that sounds, because I've been singing his praises left and right, left and right. But with the bye week situation in week seven, everybody's kind of reeling right now.
Mm.
I'm going to go with Tim Patrick for one last hurrah. The Browns secondary through 4 weeks was pretty good. Ever since Justin Herbert lit them up, they've been pretty bad. So they were in the top 10, and they're now all the way in the bottom five in terms of pass
broken.
Yards allowed.
They're currently broken.
Everybody know these are both. This is a really good matchup, AJ. I'm proud of you on this one because they're both super consistent receivers. I just think Tim Patrick is a little more touchdown efficient, and there's a likely touchdown out of Tim Patrick because he gets one every other game. So I'll go with Tim Patrick.
All right, Tim Patrick. It is AJ.
This is tough. If you're going with floor here, I think I go with Hunter Renfro. He gets so many targets over the middle, and the Eagles really aren't good.
The third down machine.
But Tim Patrick at the same time is going against his OG stank booty, Cleveland Brown secondary, and I'm going with Tim Patrick.
All right. Ride Tim Patrick to the wheels fall off. Here's another good one. If you're looking at tight ends right now, Tyler Higbee, who I tried to get off my brother, you know who I tried to trade for Tyler Higbee, straight up, Tim Patrick, because I figured the value's there behind Patrick in some regard, and I needed a tight end, and he has T.J. Hockenson, so what the hell? Why not, Danny? Why not? But anyway.
He must know something about
maybe
Jerry Jeudy potentially coming back.
And maybe, but anyway, Tyler Higbee taking on Hunter Henry in this one. Henry taking on the Jets. Higbee taking on the abysmal Lions. They both have fantastic matchups. This one's a toss-up. Gooch, what do you got?
I'm going to go with
Higbee's Tyler very Higbee. Quiet.
I'm going to go with Higbee because he's a little bit more due. Hunter Henry, he's been pretty much shit.
Scored last week.
3 weeks. Right?
Scored against the Cowboys.
He's been better, I guess. I don't know, man. Hunter Henry, I actually talked good about him last week. I just got confused between him and Jonnu Smith.
Mm.
They look nothing alike, so I don't know how I did that.
But, a little skin complexion, a little different.
Tyler Higbee's just in a better offense, playing a really bad team. They're both playing really bad teams. This is another good one, man. I mean, if you're in this situation, just flip a coin. I feel like they're both going to score the exact same amount of points.
Okay.
So nobody, don't start.
Don't start either of them. Go ahead, AJ.
If I have to give a slight nod here, I'm definitely going with the Tyler Higbee guy because you want to know why?
Why?
Detroit sucks at covering tight ends. The Jets are not so bad at it, so.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's a very good analysis.
Yeah,
I like that.
What AJ said. Higbee because the Jets are
okay
they're
covering the tight end.
Really good.
Right, and their linebackers are quick. I think what's his face definitely playing, right? Mosley?
Yeah, Mosley's
yeah,
a beast.
So.
He'll be
out. We got ourselves a game tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cleveland Browns, who are now Baker Mayfieldless, going into the torn labrum in his left shoulder. That's the kind of injury that I know you could definitely play through, but it just seems to be like this week is just too short. If this game was being played on Sunday.
Well, he got fucked up last
week. Oh, he absolutely did.
It wasn't just the torn labrum he got in week one.
He separated his shoulder last week.
He's got other issues.
They Mel Gibson, lethal weapon, that bitch, right back in.
They actually announced that he's going to have surgery to fix it at the end of this season, but he's going to play through.
Good for him. I like it.
If he can. I'm sure.
I like it.
Really fucks the Browns over, though.
Yeah, of course. But my other thing is, Bart Scott, I'm starting to think, I thought it was just FS1. That just have a script and they just talk shit just to rile people up. But Bart Scott's turning into that talking head too, where he's just like, what can I do or say to get these people going? He said that Case Keenum will run this offense better than Baker Mayfield can. Get off it, bro. Case Keenum's on his 15th team. And I like Keenum. I like him. I like his story. I like the journeyman thing. He's awesome, right? He's not Baker Mayfield. He's not.
I'm not sold on Baker at all, though.
How do you not be sold yet at this point?
He's tough, but what does Baker actually need to succeed?
A lot of it's scheming.
Right? Maybe, but he's got 2,000-yard rushers on one team. They gave him the receivers. Obviously, they can't stay
healthy. Yeah, I was going to say, but none of them are on the Baker, field.
I don't know. I feel like if you put a real good passer in that situation, that team is going to be so much better. Just he doesn't get the – he gets the least amount – I don't know how to say this, right? But they have to respect the run so much against the Browns because of the way they play that Baker is seeing the thinnest secondaries. I'm still struggling on how to supposed to say this one, but – you understand what I'm getting at?
I get it, yeah, yeah.
Baker should be throwing the ball for 400 yards a game. He just can't get it done. I know it's an injury situation right now, but I just never really was sold on Baker. Case Keenum, I'm definitely not sold on, but at least Case Keenum has taken teams deep into the playoffs before.
They have. Yeah, was he the skull?
He was the Vikings guy. But that team reminds me a little bit of this Browns team in terms of the way they're made up. I think Case Keenum has a chance to do well in this game.
The
Broncos' defense is pretty good.
Both of these teams are reeling. I think the Browns, based off of like future projections of being the team to run with the Steelers and the Ravens this year, they need this more. Being home and 2.5 points. Are they home? This one's home.
The
Browns are home. So the Browns are 2.5 point favorites at home. So this is basically like a pick 'em because Baker Mayfield's not in the game. That's why this is a pick 'em. So it's Teddy Bridgewater against Case Keenum. Boy, oh boy, the ratings are going to be through the roof. But these games typically, for whatever reason, actually perform. You know, this game might be really good. So I'll start with you, Gooch. Where are you going with this? I mean, like, the standings are last week, just so everybody knows, myself and Gooch went 8-6. AJ went 6-8. We'll get the totals tomorrow for the season. But Gooch has picked up another 8 wins. You're obviously still kind of flying high, over 500 in your picks the last 3 weeks. What do you got here? Where are you starting your week 7 stuff?
I'm going to go with the Broncos on the road, getting the 2.5. There's too many injuries with the Browns. I know that their defense is going to give Denver's offensive line fits. The Raiders kind of gave them fits as well. But this is going to be a low-scoring game because I don't see the Browns scoring much on that Denver defense as well. Von Miller said, I don't know who the left tackle that's going to trying to block me is, but whoever it is, I'm going to fucking kill him.
He did say that, which is fantastic. No. Not something like he said he was going to kill him. So I was like, oh, all right.
Von Miller's inspired. It's a big game. A big game for both teams, 3-3. This is the second time Denver's finding themselves in a very similar situation, playing another team that's somewhat reeling. I know the Browns are expected to be one of those teams that made a leap this year. So far, not so good. I think it's that weird game right now, the Thursday night short turnaround. Cleveland's defensive line is really, really good, but that's about all that's really good about that team right now. I don't know how they're going to overcome the running back situation plus the quarterback situation
plus the
receiver situation.
There's I talked to Paz there. Yesterday. He was asking me if he should start D'Ernst Johnson or I forget who we compared, but I told him, I was like, I don't like the short week thing. I just doesn't rub like this Johnson kid gets the first team reps for a day and a half. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you got to go play in a football game. I told him not to.
Something to be said for this though. And I'm only going to say this because me and AJ kind of talked about it a little bit before the show, the D'Ernest Johnson, the maybe no Odell, there's a Donovan Peoples-Jones, Case Keenum. These guys have been working together with the second offense all offseason.
Something to be
said. All camp. They've been doing the scout, helping out with the scout team shit. So there's definitely a familiarity with the Browns skill players right now, being that they're all hurt. So it's pretty much the second team. So there might be a little bit of fluidity amongst the offense, but still Denver's defense is going to be too good in this one.
All right. And so you're taking the Broncos on the road plus the 2.5. AJ, where are you at?
I'm taking Broncos all day. There's too many injuries for this team to come back from in terms of Cleveland. Like, these are practically their 5 most important players on the offensive side of the football, and they're all out. Tough defensive matchup, too. I think this game will go under 20 points.
Wow. All right, so a slow one. I, for one, am going against the grain, ladies and gentlemen. I am taking the Cleveland Browns to win this game. Case Keenum, my guy, listen. I think you have it in you. I think that this Browns defense are playing absolutely still, even with the 3-3 record. Guys like Myles Garrett are going to get home on Teddy Bridgewater and a lot. And I think that at home, the Browns absolutely need this one to stay afloat with the Ravens and the Steelers and that division. Because you're looking at the Broncos, and everybody's already calling them frauds, right? They got the Raiders over there. They got the Chiefs. They got the Chargers, right? That division, they're not winning that division. I don't give a shit. They're not winning that division. The Cleveland Browns at 3-3 still, to me, believe they can win this division. it starts tonight. You got to get it done tonight. That's why I'm taking them. So I'm with that. So that is the game. And, of course, what do we have here? That is, primetime props. Why not, right? Let's try to make you guys some money. If you can't decide on betting the game, why not do some props? So the first one, who was that? Was that AJ or is that?
No, that's me.
That's you. What do you got?
I got Chase McLaughlin over 1.5 field goals made. I think you could take your pick on the kickers in this one. They're both going to kick 2 field goals each at least. It's going to be a defensive matchup. Anytime they get into the red zone, you're going to see the offenses just completely stall out because where are they really going to go with the ball? I mean, I guess Denver has a – the reason why I picked Chase over is because I just think that the Browns secondary is shit. So there is some chances there for the Denver
receivers. All right, to get down there. All right, and Demetric Felton over there, AJ?
Yeah, Demetric Felton.
Demetric, sorry.
When the guy has the balls in his hands, he delivers magic. So
I'm trying to make you guys some actual cash. Pause. Yep. I'm trying to make you guys some magic here and make you guys get you guys some paid out some cheddar. Give me Tim Patrick to be the first one to score a touchdown in this game, right over the middle. Give me a slant route from the 7-yard line. Tim Patrick touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater, but the Browns still ultimately win the game. So that is your primetime props. That is your podcast for today. Be sure to check out. Oh, you did find the friggin' football player, didn't you? Oh, so this is for Faraka. Do I look like that guy?
Kinda.
I mean, is that me from a past life?
Sans beard.
I mean, wow. I mean, look, he looks like a stud, first of all. Great number, great build, great jawline. I'm okay with this.
Also, rest in peace.
Is he definitely dead?
I mean, he has to be dead if he's sitting right here in the studio with us.
He is me. I am him. That's me. Anyway, so it's been another great banger of a podcast here on a Thursday. Be sure to check us out every single day. Scoop said there is similarities between me and Homeboy. So maybe that is me. I don't know. We'll find that out, I guess, one day. Somehow, some way. I don't know how, but we'll figure it out. But be sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the network today. A brand new episode of I'm Your Football Team with Keith Ernst is available now. Chart Choppers dropped yesterday. Till Mets Do Us Part. The New York Metropolitans are in search of a popo? No, what was it? Player op? What was the initials? Shit.
President of Pobo.
Pobo, right? And I said to Ibby, because he sent me the rundown, I was like, what the hell's a Pobo? And then he texted me that it was very similar to when Johnny Drama said, what's a Chuckle Dell? in Entourage. So shout out to Ibby for that one. But the Till Mets Do Us Part podcast is back. To pretty much break down the manager search, the president search, all the searches that the Mets have this year into the offseason, because they've reached the offseason before any of us, and they're on their way. So,
was that like a subtle dig?
I was going to say, a little dig. It was one I'm not in the less mood. Game than the Yankees, I believe.
With the high pitch. There was another.
I think I saw that.
Wait, is that from Family Guy?
Yeah, it is.
I knew it. All right, so thank you guys for watching. Of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel. There are going to be a lot more content coming your way. Me and Gooch had a meeting of the mind yesterday, and Chop Sports is going to take the next step into getting you guys more content. So thanks for watching. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Did anybody see the new Conor McGregor news?
Is this with Johnny Depp?
No, he assaulted a DJ in Rome. So he's wanted again.
I love it.
Wanted.